Well, it's good to see those of you who came back out with us tonight. We hope you had a good afternoon. It's good to see you out with us. I ran off and left my outline at home, so you're getting a different sermon than what was planned tonight. Even younger people have memory issues at times. This may seem like an unusual subject to do from last minute decision, but it's a needed topic, I think. Something that you don't hear much preached on anymore, and surely you haven't heard it from this pulpit ever since I've been here. And we're going to be actually examining one of the issues of institutionalism in this tonight. Now, we're going to be examining it from a doctrinal standpoint. And what I mean is, if you'll remember several weeks ago, I had a lesson called Dangerous Doctrines Saved by Faith. That's one that's coming up. Dangerous Doctrines Attend the Church of Your Choice. That's what it was called. And we looked at different points from Scripture that went against that idea of attend the church of your choice. We're going to do something similar tonight, in that we're going to look at one of the tenets of institutionalism from a doctrinal perspective and not so much from an overview of institutionalism. I do hope to present a series on that at some point in the future, because there is not as much preaching on that anymore as there used to be. And I think that's a little bit of a twofold issue. It was preached so very much that it became something that you could sit through very easily, kind of ignore, kind of you've heard it before. And the downside of that is we have a generation today who doesn't know the issues. And we have individuals who come into the Lord's church that don't know the issues. And we have individuals who maybe were raised during that time period, but really don't consider the issues and don't see as much of a dividing line between the two types. My mother was raised in the institutional churches of Christ. And when I've talked to her several times about, you know, she was a child when the split happened. She was raised as a child in the institutional church. And her teenage years would have been the 10 years right after the split. Her teenage years would have been the next 10 to 15 years after the split. And during that time period amongst the non-institutional churches of Christ, there was a lot of preaching on this matter. A lot of heartfelt fire and brimstone sermons. And so I've asked my mom, did you have something similar? No, we didn't discuss that. We didn't know that stuff. She said, I really didn't know we were institutional until I started learning the issues. And then looking back, she said, I guess we were, because I remember certain things. But our preacher was the Dean of Freed at the time. So there's just a lack of study on these issues from a biblical perspective and from a historical perspective. And so all we want to do tonight, and it will tie into the elder series that we are coming back to, several have asked, we want to look at dangerous doctrines. And the one specifically we're looking at tonight is the sponsoring church. I want to present three doctrinal issues with the sponsoring church from Scripture that I think we can find. Now, giving a little bit of background and how it ties into the elder series, the sponsoring church really and truly is an eldership doctrinal issue. Who do the elders have oversight over? And is there a biblical perspective and principle to allow elders to have more of a reach than the sheep that are in their flock? And that ties in to the next lesson in our eldership series, among you, because we're going to look at one passage tonight that will say among you twice in just a matter of 15 words. And let me give a side caveat as to why we have not had the other eldership lesson yet, because several have asked. The lesson among you, in my opinion, is one of the more needed lessons and more focal lessons in understanding if a man's child leaves outside of the home, can he or can he not serve as an elder? I think the among you perspective is one of the strongest arguments for what I'm trying to present. And so because of that, until I am extremely comfortable with what I've got prepared, it's not going to be preached just yet. Because I want to make sure I'm doing the text justice in it. But I think tonight's lesson will help maybe shape our perspectives for that lesson as we prepare for it. The sponsoring church, though, just a little bit of background if you're unaware of what it is. The sponsoring church is the idea that one eldership can be over a set program or a set number of groups even. And so an example just in recent years, there's a lady in an institutional church in this very county who's a good friend of mine. And when we talked about me being here at Rock and she found out we did not have elders, she said, "What do you mean you don't have elders?" And I said, "Well, we don't, but we're hoping to have some soon." She said, "So you mean you don't submit to someone else's elders? Y'all need to be under someone's elders." And I said, "Don't think you can show that in the Bible." And that's one view of a sponsoring church, in that one group of elders are responsible for the decisions of multiple congregations. And what does that sound like? The bishop hierarchy of the Catholic Church. Not the Lord's Church. But the bigger issue of sponsoring elders that we see more today are where an eldership is over a program. And so one big example of that would be the Herald of Truth. The Herald of Truth was overseen by one group of elders of one congregation at one time. And yet what you would have is you would have tons of congregations all across the states sending their money from their treasury to this one group of elders for them to manage for this program. In 1980, in an article that was published, there were more than 4,500 churches of Christ in this country that were sending funds to this one eldership to manage for the Herald of Truth. Other programs you see more in recent years would be House to Heart, which is still going on today. The Tennessee chapter used to be out of Greenfield. I don't know if it still is or not. It used to also be out of Cookeville. There are still some that comes out of it. You have Lads to Leaders, which is under an eldership in I forget the name of the church. It's in Cookeville. It's in the outer country. And they have the Tennessee Bible College as part of their building. And I can picture the building and I can picture the elders who are there, but I can't think of their name. So Sycamore Church of Christ in Cookeville. And so you have these different groups of programs that are overseen by elders. World Radio was one of them. Church of Christ Relief Fund is another. One Nation Under God, many of you remember that, where the different churches of Christ wanted to get this information out to all households in the country so we would be one nation under God. And what it was with all these programs, it was one eldership that oversaw the program. And so what we would do is Oak Avenue's elders would handle it, and Rock Church would just cut a check and send it, and that would be our part of the work. And we would give of our treasury to Oak Avenue for Oak Avenue to manage. Do you see where we might have some problems with that? But the issue is, can we back up our fears biblically? There is danger, my friends, in just saying that doesn't sound right, that doesn't feel right, we shouldn't be doing that. We should always let our inner compass guide us. We should always let that little voice inside of our head that says, "I don't think this is a good idea," prompt us to consider further if it is or not. An example of this. I was approached, I serve on one nonprofit board, and I help cities and several counties with their nonprofits for libraries. And I was approached by one the other day, and they said, "Can a library employee serve as the president of the nonprofit board?" I said, "Nope. Quickly, no. Conflict of interest." And they said, "Okay, let me change that question. We understand the conflict of interest. Is there any legal statute that says they cannot?" Let me do some investigating and get back to you. We need to be able to back up our opinions and beliefs and our feelings with the Word of God, especially when we're dealing with individuals who would be considered our brethren. And that's a point we often miss when we discuss institutional issues. My friends, they believe the same gospel we do. They've been baptized for the remission of their sins. They have repented and confessed Jesus as Lord. And while we may differ on matters of the treasury and on matters of oversight, the reality is their baptism is the same as yours and ours. And where does that baptism put them? Into the family of God. Whether or not we agree on all issues, it would be the same as if false doctrine was taught here. It would still be brothers and sisters in Christ. And so when we're dealing with individuals of the institutional church, we need to be able to back up what we're saying with Scripture. So now, let me present three different passages that I think help us in understanding this issue. Number one, the sponsoring church, a danger of it is it takes away individual responsibility.
That's a long word.
It takes away individual responsibility. In the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, Paul says, down in verses 12 through 16, a paragraph that really should be very familiar to us, and a statement that we should all consider. He says, in verse 12, let me start at verse 11. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, or pastors, or bishops, or whichever word your translation might use, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. We all have individual responsibilities inside the body of faith. My responsibility cannot be given to any of you who are out here because it is my responsibility. And let's consider this for a moment. You have decided that you're going to be the next best weightlifter there is. Bodybuilder. You're going to be a great bodybuilder. Now, how would that work if you did 5 straight days of arm training every single week? You'd have pretty powerful arms, would you not? What about your legs? Or your chest? Or your back? You see, any good exercise program, when you're trying to do overall body health, has you split up into the different categories so that the whole body is progressing together. Now, we've decided that the best way to reach all of the houses in all of America is to allow one individual group to take care of it for us, and we all just send money. That would be taking all of our resources, all of our nutrients, and funneling them into one part of the body. How's that body going to function and work? Bible says that every joint is supposed to supply what the body needs. Building up together, working together. But if we have shirked our duty and reduced it to a simple check, and that bypasses all, what, about 25 of us that are here tonight? Maybe 30. And that bypasses all the rest of us because we're just going to send a check. Is that part of the body? Is that part of the body growing? Is that part of the body doing its part? And are we owning up to our individual responsibilities? No, we have allowed another part of the body to take over and do what we should be doing. You and I have individual responsibility, and Rock as a congregation has a responsibility, but the churches of Dixon County combined do not have a responsibility as a group. You know, I was talking to Brother Sewell Hall just a couple weeks ago. And if you ever get the opportunity to sit and talk with Brother Sewell, take that advantage. Brother Sewell was talking about when COVID came up, he's hearing things that are making him very uncomfortable and very worried for the faith. Because he said in a lot of these big cities, what you're having is you're having the elders come together from all of these local congregations, and what are we going to do to help COVID? And let's all make one decision that all of our congregations will stand by. What does that sound like? The Catholic Church hierarchy. My friends, we don't get with Oak and decide what's best for Dixon County. We don't get with Central and decide what's best for this, for Charlotte. We don't get with Akron Hill and decide what's best for this area right here, which our two congregations work. That's not how the Bible was designed. The church was designed. That's not how we grow. And that is not how we take care of our responsibility as Rock Church. We as a group of God's people have a responsibility, both as individuals and as the collective group of Rock, to see that the needs of the brethren are met and to see that the word is preached to souls around. We don't get to shirk that responsibility and allow another group to manage it, lest we cause the body to wither and not grow. And so that becomes really our second point. Is the sponsoring church discourages growth? Let me go ahead and put the scriptures up on the board for this point. We're going to look at Hebrews 5 first, if you want to be turning there. Hebrews chapter 5, let's look in chapter 5, verses 12 through 14. Now I recognize that this is talking about teachers, but I think it's applicable in this situation. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God. You need milk, not solid food. For everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, since he is a child. But solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. What is one of the qualifications of elders? They be able to teach. What does a lack of growth show? An inability to teach. You ought to be teachers, but you need someone to teach you. You ought to be on meat, but you're still on milk. You know, Peter, the very one who uses this phrase among you, that we're going to look at in our next point, in point three, he's the one that says in 1 Peter chapter 2, as sincere babes desire the milk of the word. At the start of your walk, you desire milk. What happens if the child is 7 years old and still drinking just milk? You have a malnourished child. child who's not growing. A child who has a hindrance before him or her. If we have someone taking care of our responsibilities for us, how are we growing? How are we progressing? How many of you have things in your life that make your life easier in that it solves an issue you used to have? Like the phone that can be a calculator for you. You don't have to do math anymore. Just pull out your phone and type it in and it'll tell you what the number is. Need to know what a word means? Just pull up your phone. Look at it. You don't have to go get the dictionary. Who uses the dictionary anymore? How many things in our life are an improvement from where it used to be? You know, we don't have to send the letter in the mail anymore. We can send the email and they'll get it a lot quicker. Send it right back or send a text message. We don't have to figure out when we can make a call because of long distance charges if we've got a cell phone because we can just call somebody quickly, right? Things become an improvement. And really what it does is it makes us lazier. One of the best examples I have of that is tax preparers. I was trained to do tax returns by hand before I was ever allowed to use a computer. And anyone I ever trained is trained that same way. And my business partner, who some of you know, was trained on the computer. And she will admit to me several times, how do you know that? How do you remember that? How do you know that box 13 is this? Because my instructor taught me to do it by hand before I ever let that computer do it for me. Because on a computer, I can just type it in, and if I don't know what I'm looking for, it all looks right to me, but because of the way I was trained, I can look at it and go, that's not right. That's not what I've calculated already. Let me find where the error is in the software. See, there's danger in letting someone do it for you. Because you're not growing, you're not progressing, you're not increasing. If we allowed another group to do our work for us because it was biblically okay, how much growth would occur? And why should we be concerned with growth? Well, Peter, the one who's going to make our biggest argument for this, in 2 Peter chapter 3, finishes his letter to the saints like this. Verses 17 and 18. You therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, take care that you are not carried away with the error of lawless people and lose your own stability. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. Peter's command to Christians is, beware, verse 17, verse 18, but grow. We all, whether we're aspiring to be elders one day or not, we all have a command to grow. And if we allow something else to shirk our duties, we're not growing. We're not progressing. And what would we ever want to have our own elders when we could just have another congregation take care of it for us? You know, what would be the incentive to having our own when someone else can do it better for us? They've managed it till now. They've managed these programs. Maybe they've managed us. How much easier would it be if we could just let an outside party do it for us? How many businesses accept that model, let an outside party come in and do it for them? For me, I love the fact they do it because it makes money for me at tax time and accounting time. Because it's a simpler solution to them than to do it themselves. But if we allow that mentality into the church, then we're not growing, we're not progressing, we're not being the people God wants us to be. But here's the biggest issue with the sponsoring church. It simply, my friends, goes against the Scriptures. Let's start in Titus chapter 1. In Titus chapter 1, as Paul is starting this letter to the young man, he says in verse 5, "This is why I left you in Crete, so that you might put what remain into order and appoint elders in every town as I directed you." In the book of Acts, chapter 14, it makes note here, after Paul and Barnabas have been in Iconium and at Lystra, and they have come, Iconium and Lystra, and they have now come, they're about to go to Antioch of Syria. In verse 23 it says, "And when they had appointed elders for them in every church, with prayer and fasting, they committed them to the Lord in whom they had believed." Now notice 1 Peter chapter 5. This is where this command of among you actually comes in. Paul says it to those in Ephesus when he says, "Shepherd the flock that is among you." But I want you to read especially 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter 5 verses 1 and 2. "So I exhort the elders among you," first time, "as a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed, shepherd the flock of God that is among you," second time, "exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly." We're going to stop there. Peter tells them twice, "You shepherd the flock among you." Now, what authority does any elder have in stepping in and shepherding another congregation? Absolutely none. You find me a passage where Peter or Paul tells the elders at Ephesus to handle the church at Galatia. You find me where the elders at Jerusalem are told to handle the church at Antioch of Syria. These churches were concerned for one another, just as we would be concerned for each other. They sent funds to help the needy saints in places, just as we would. They supported men going and preaching the Word of God in these places, just as we do. But you find me in Scripture where the elders have authority outside of their local congregation. It's not there. Why else would Paul be concerned that Titus be left at Crete to appoint elders in every church? Why else, before they went on to Antioch of Syria, did they make sure to appoint elders in every church? Why would either of these need to be a situation if one group of elders could handle the whole? It's not authorized, my friends. And that translates into, can one group of elders manage a program for multiple congregations? No, because it's the same. You may not be managing individuals, but you're managing the treasury of multiple groups, which would not be allowed. You are creating a group work. Some of the phrases that they'll use is, "You send your money to us and we'll make sure it's handled appropriately." Who gave you the authority to handle what has been given to us? That would be like us saying we're going to have elders here at Rock now, and then someone at Oak starts walking disorderly, so we take care of it for Oak and we send the withdrawal letter. Or we find out Acorn Hill's not managing their money well, so we step in and say, okay, you just send it to us and we'll pay your bills and we'll make sure everything's taken care of. We don't have the authority to do that, my friends. It would be an overstep outside the authority of Christ. And it would make us more like the world in doing so. And, consequently, more like the Catholic Church. We don't have the authority to do anything outside of our congregation. Now, let's say there was a soul, and I'm using Oak tonight, so I'll keep using them. Mitch, good friend. Known Mitch a long time. Maybe as long as Paul and Kathy, not sure, but long time. Mitch and I meet an individual while we're at one of our lunches together. And we decide to have a Bible study with him, and we regularly have a Bible study with him. Can we do that? Sure. Absolutely. If that individual was to be converted, is that something that both we have helped out in through my work in it and Oak has helped out in through Mitch's work in it? Yes, absolutely. What's the difference? We're not having a group that is appointed to oversee it. We're not having elders say, you need to go do this, you need to go do that. All right, the elders at Oak are calling me and saying, all right, Caleb, you need to come teach this class on these nights, or you need to teach the people at Rock this, or you need to do etc. The issue is the oversight. It is not that we cannot work together with other congregations to accomplish a good work in this community. As a matter of fact, if we're fighting with other congregations, how is that going to look for a soul who's outside the body of Christ? The difference is, we don't say that one eldership has the authority over us all. We are autonomous. Something that I think our brethren have forgotten during COVID. Rock makes decisions for Rock. Central makes decisions for Central. Colesburg makes decisions for Colesburg, and etc. You see, we can be guilty of the idea of a sponsoring church when we come in and say, well, all the other groups are doing this, don't you think we need to do the same thing as them? Almost as if we believe that their elders have made the decision that we should follow as well. We are not under submission to the other elders of this county. If we had elders here at Rock, we would be under the submission to them and to them alone. There is danger in the sponsoring church and in the tenets and ideas that come from it, because it perverts God's nature for the church. It goes against what He has commanded in His holy word. It goes outside of the authority that they have. So now coming back to our eldership series. If the elders, let's say we had elders at Rock, could not go and make members at Oak do what they should, or members at Central and do what they should, because we would say that's part of the sponsoring church and that is a doctrinally wrong idea. Can you say that they have a right to command the child that is outside of their household to do something? Or would we be applying a false principle to the qualification that's not there in the actual service? Remember, the qualifications are there to help us appoint men who are fit for the work. And if I need to make sure that they can shepherd the flock that is among them, then they need to be able to manage the household well that is among them. Food for thought. The sponsoring church is an issue that still goes on today. There's a newsletter I receive it once a month, called Fulton County Gospel News. I have no idea who signed me up for it, but I have gotten it for 7 or 8 years now, and every time I move, they get my new address. And on the outside of it, it says, our funding. Below it, it says, this is a work of the elders of, and I don't remember the name of the church, but it's in East Arkansas. And then below it, it says contributions for this month. And it lists several individuals, but then at the bottom, it normally lists about 5 to 10 churches of Christ that send their resources to this eldership for them to decide what goes into the article and what does not. Sponsoring church is still alive and well today. And it is a perversion of the will of God. Because when you look at the commands given to elders, whether they be the Apostle Paul, and the reason I like looking at Peter's in this case is, did you catch it? He says, and I, your fellow elder, one who has experience and foreknowledge, one who is serving in the very role in which he's giving instruction. That does not discount what the Apostle Paul says on the matter. But you know, hearing it from one who has served in that role, and he says twice, among you, stressing it. Anything outside would be unscriptural. There's danger in the sponsoring church. It leads to a place of disobedience to God. And it's well-intentioned, I think, honestly and truly. You know, if you think of the idea of we have a limited amount of resources, but if we pool our resources together, how much greater can we do? Is that not a good intentioned idea? The problem is, good intentions can be unauthorized. Maybe have the right attitude, but the wrong practice. Sounds like something we've been talking about on Wednesday nights. There's danger in participating in actions that are unauthorized in the will of God. Just something I want us to consider as we talk to others who are in institutional congregations. Let me tell you, the sponsoring church is going to be one that a lot of them probably don't know a whole lot about. May not really know it, probably have never heard it called the sponsoring church, and surely have never considered how allowing another eldership to oversee it would be a problem. But it is, and it's something we can consider in our discussions. And it's something we need to be careful not to find ourselves trapped in a similar mindset of Dixon County COVID numbers are rising. Why don't we get with all the other congregations and make a decision? That's leading down the path of a sponsoring church. So we need to be careful. Especially as we do prepare to get back into our eldership series, hopefully soon. Food for thought. How what be among you really has ramifications of. We've not talked about salvation tonight. As I look out over the audience, I see people who have obeyed the gospel. And I see individuals who hopefully are on the right path. But only you can answer that for yourself. There is danger in going against the will of God. Period. Whether it be in our organization, in the way in which we handle our resources, or simply in the way we live our lives. Do not be found contrary to the will of God. And so tonight, if there's anything you're needing help with, needing prayers, needing to come back to Him, we invite you to come as we stand and sing the song that's been selected.